Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. A few weeks ago, we talked about the group Arabella, which is a dark money network of leftist billionaires secretly transforming America. And we know this because I interviewed Scott Walter about it. And that's actually the name of his book, Arabella, and the subtitle of it, Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires. Now we're going to get a chance to talk about what they're actually doing in this cycle. And joining us today to do that is Ned Jones from the Citizens Election Research Center, CERC, which has a new finding as to what's going on with Arabella and what they're doing in elections. And maybe they're running some interference for Mark Zuckerberg. Ned, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Ed, thanks for having me.
So we've got Ned and Ed here. I mean, how much better could this possibly be? So, you know, after the 2020 election, you know, Mark Zuckerberg was very involved in that. They called it the Zuck Bucks. He was funding a lot of get out the vote type stuff. A number of states after that barred that the type of thing that Mark Zuckerberg was doing. It's not that you can't fund get out the vote stuff, but the type of thing that Mark Zuckerberg was doing was actually funding things that states and localities were doing. And so they barred that, but that doesn't mean that Zuckerberg and his friends have gone away. What is Arabella doing in this cycle that has caught your attention at CERC?
Well, you know, what we're looking at, and I've been looking at since the 2020 election, is the infiltration, as we call it, of left-wing nonprofits into our election system. And Arabella is the hub for the financing of those operations. They take, hear it now, charitable donations from Soros, Zuckerberg, a gentleman named Pierre Omidyar, who is the founder of eBay, Gates from Microsoft. And they funnel these donations through other nonprofits. And our concern now is that Weiss from Switzerland, who you may have heard of, Chinese nationals are putting forth money through this network. And the reason is they can't donate to campaigns, but they can donate to nonprofits in the States. And so they're getting their money from outside the country into our elections through that path. So as I investigated these nonprofits, what I found was there's a dozen or two dozen or so that are directly involved in the process of our election. And you brought up probably the most famous situation earlier, and that is the Mark Zuckerberg $400 million charitable donation to two of these nonprofits. One was a very small one in Chicago called the Center for Tech and Civic Life, and the other one is called the Center for Election Innovation and Research. Well, those funds were donated, well, they weren't donated, they were granted to election offices around the country for the purpose of extra cost coverage because of COVID. That was the COVID election year. Right. But what they were really used for was get out the vote. Now, that's an illegal use of those funds when it's partisan. And so every other word out of their mouth is nonpartisan. But when you look at the spending, 90% of that funding went to locations that Biden won and only 10% to that Trump won. So Mark Zuckerberg and his wife put their thumb on the scale of that election. And as you said rightly, 28 states now have banned the practice. But they haven't stopped. They've still found ways to infiltrate our system with those funds.
They're trying to find ways around this. And this is one of the things that Scott Walter talks about in his book is the flexibility, I guess, that a network the size of Arabella has in attempting to get around regulations and attempting to apply influence around statutes that are designed to resist it.
That's correct. You know, and they learned early on the left that it wasn't about issues and candidates anymore. It was about registering their targeted voters. They called it the New American Majority, people of color, young voters, and single women. And that's who they went after. And they told their billionaires that a better investment than investing in any campaign was to invest in this voter registration, targeted voter registration operation. And so that's what you see happening now. And it's massive this year. It's happening all over the country. It's even gotten worse because now you have what we're calling Biden bucks, where the president signed an executive order in March of 2021, turning the entire federal government into a voter registration operation. The executive order says that if anyone comes in contact with any federal agency, and it doesn't say citizen, they're to be registered to vote and given information about voting by mail. And this is the federal government getting involved in what I call targeted get out the vote.
Yeah, that's a good question. First off, is that illegal? I guess is the first question about that. And two, has it been challenged by anybody withstanding, you know, the Republican Party or other nonpartisan groups? Is it challengeable?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because so late in the game, this summer, actually this month, nine states have now filed a lawsuit challenging the Biden EO 14019 from March of 2021, if you can imagine. We've known about it for a long time. But finally, nine states have gone forward with a lawsuit, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's a long process in the courts. We always get nailed on standing, and so we don't know how that's going to come out. But it raises the issue to the level that people are going to start to understand what's going on.
Well, actually, I'm kind of encouraged that the states are filing a lawsuit against this, because they would have standing. It impacts their state elections, especially in terms of presidential elections, but also House and Senate elections. And I think that I think a court would say that they have standing. Of course, the issue is that it's taken a while for them to do this. And it's not like you can go back and rescind all of the all of the voter registrations that took place. First off, it'd be impossible to identify. Yeah,
I'll give you a good example. The Department of Interior, they're recruiting voters on the reservations, the Native Americans. And, you know, that's a targeted demographic for the left. The Department of Education has got a program on college campuses that they're having them participate in, registering those young voters that they're looking for. So it's very targeted, and it's always seemed illegal going all the way back to March of 2021, but was never challenged.
You know, Ned, I would say that maybe the Department of Records is going through the Chicago cemeteries too and registering people there.
Yeah, those reliable voters.
Yeah, those, so, but they're already all Democrats. I don't think they need to do that. They're already all Democrats in the cemeteries.
And a lot of the funding for these left-wing operations that are coordinating with the federal government comes from the Arabella Network, you know, that I'm sure right. Scott described in great detail. Most of them are 501c3 charities. That's the same IRS designation as your church. So when right. Mark Zuckerberg donated $400 million to one of these or two of these, he was able to take a huge tax write-off, and it was just like he was giving it to a church.
You know, and it's interesting because I sometimes guest host for Relevant Radio, right, which is 501c3. It's the same type of thing. It's a nonprofit Catholic radio network. It's nationwide. Not that I'm here to promote them, but they're friends of mine, so I'm going to at least mention them. And they're very careful about this, right? They are very, very ethical about this. They do not want hosts being on the air giving partisan endorsements, right? I mean, you can talk about issues, but they don't really want to talk about campaigns. They try to stay away from that, and they don't want their hosts tipping over into partisan endorsements. And they're not even really happy when callers get on the air and do that, but there's not too much that they can do about it. They're very ethical about this. And I would say most of the churches are too, although there has been some issues with churches being used for get out the vote efforts or for actual partisan campaigning. And that has come up again and again and again in American elections. But this is something different. This isn't even the churches that are possibly abusing their 501c3 status to do election campaigning, they're still churches. That's really their core business. This is what you're talking about are organizations that are set up as a dodge to cover for their core businesses, partisan operations.
Exactly. And, you know, in this lawless government that we have now, there's nothing we can do about that in terms of an IRS complaint. Some have been filed, but nothing happens. However, the organization I'm with, the Election Integrity Network, and my project, the Citizens Election Research Center, we are also nonprofit C3s. We right. have to be extremely careful We do a lot of national working groups on Zoom. We do interviews like this, and we have to be nonpartisan, and we are. We think election integrity is a nonpartisan problem. But we have to be very careful, because if we step out of line, we're going to feel the full force of Biden's IRS. So we're very careful.
Well, and just the fact that, you know, law enforcement at the federal level has become pretty politicized, two tiers of justice, and we don't need to get too far into that. But I think everybody who's watching this podcast will understand what it is that we're talking about. It's the reason why you've got to be so careful about this. Now, I think it's interesting to note, too, that you're actually looking at four particular states in which this is taking place. Now, I'm actually a little surprised that I'm not saying that it's not taking place in other states, but there seems to be an emphasis on four swing states, but it might not be the swing states that immediately come to mind when people are looking at the presidential election. Tell us a little bit about the states where you're seeing this, and maybe how much different it is in those four states and maybe some of the other states that are on the bubble.
Yeah, well, here at the Election Integrity Network, we have two projects that I manage. One is called the Citizens Research Project, and we look at the whole country with the nonprofits, left-wing nonprofits. But for this project, we're specifically looking at Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Nevada. Those are states that have members in an organization called the U.S. Alliance for Election Excellence. That's a program that was introduced by, you guessed it, Center for Tech and Civic Life of Zuckbucks fame, in April of 22. And what they said in their announcement is, we have a new project. It's funded with $85 million over 5 years by a new group named the Audacious Project. It's the same billionaires coming in under a different name. And we're concerned that, again, there's Chinese nationalists involved and maybe this guy Weiss. But what they said was, we're going to pay grants in states that allow it. And we're going to offer membership in the alliance for election offices all around the country. Well, Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin now have bans. And Nevada does not have a ban on this kind of activity. We decided to go after them in those states to prevent any further memberships and to try to get the members to withdraw that were already in. So you have DeKalb County, Georgia. They circumvented their ban in Georgia with a $2 million grant. They gave it to the finance office in DeKalb County, who then turned it over to the election office. So it wasn't direct. It was a loophole in the law. One thing we know the Center for Tech and Civic Life has is a massive legal department. So DeKalb County got a grant they shouldn't have received, and they joined the alliance. In Nevada, Las Vegas got the largest grant of all from them, $3 million over 2 years, and they joined the membership. In Arizona, this is really interesting. They picked a county called Coconino County, which is mostly an Indian reservation in the northern part of the state.
The Navajos, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And why? Coconino is the path to Arizona. If you look at the results in 2020, everybody talks about Maricopa. The difference was 11,000 votes. The difference in Coconino was 17,000 votes. Yeah. They knew that. And so they've made them a member. They've targeted Coconino County. And they're following the left-wing agenda playbook. That's what the alliance is all about, influencing election administration. And then in Wisconsin, it's the city of Madison, who joined, received a grant before the citizens passed a ban in April of this year. And they had already spent the money. So we're concentrating on these areas to try to get the members to leave, but also monitoring all the activity of the Center for Tech and Civic Life in those states. You see, to be nonpartisan in this upcoming election, the key to that election could be in those four states.
Sure. Yeah, and a couple points on this. First off, before I get to what's maybe happening in other states too, one of the things that Scott Walter said in his book, Arabella, was that its money and its organizational genius was in basically throwing up a multitude of brands, right? They just create 501c3 organizations, and they just keep manufacturing them. And so they just keep moving these things around as they get blocked, they just create new ones. And it's a bit of a shell game. I don't mean that in terms of, you know, financial fraud. I'm just talking about in terms of, you know, regulatory enforcement. It's a bit of a shell game, and deliberately so. And I think that that's what you're talking about here too, in terms of the changing brands around the same money.
Oh, they do. They rebrand all the time. We call them pop-ups. They'll have a C3 show up in a state and just be in the state. And then after the election, it'll go away and there'll be no history for it. But yes, that's exactly what they do. They rebrand. I mean, they had an interesting case in Wisconsin when all of a sudden an organization called Cities Forward showed up. Now, at the time, it was illegal to give money to the election office, so they gave it to the library in Milwaukee. And they said it was for voter education and outreach. Now, those are code words with the left for voter outreach is registering targeted voters, and voter education is get out the vote. Well, the library is going to do it with this outside funding. It's so interesting, but he's so right. I mean, he understands that, how they create these organizations all the time. There's literally thousands of them, and it's like a spider web, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't cost much. I mean, one of the things that's it's usually the cheapest part of these types of operations is just creating a pop-up. I think that's also the term that he used, if I recall, from our interview. What's going on in other states? I mean, obviously, this is not just limited to these four states. I mean, you've got other states that are going to definitely be, you know, influential in terms of the outcome of the presidential election: Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, other states that, you know, New Hampshire, for instance, would probably be another one. Are you tracking efforts in those states as well?
Yeah, we are. And one of the things that we track in all of those states, actually every state, is an organization called the Center for Voter Information. They also have a second name called Voter Participation Center. It's the same thing, same funding stream. What they do is they do mass mailings during the year. And they send out voter registration forms in the early part of the year, and then vote by mail applications for ballots in the fall. Not ballots, but applications for ballots. And we've been tracking them in all the states through our Citizens Research Project. And what we're finding is they're doing three mass mailings of voter registration forms. They used to send them to specific people. Now they're sending them to addresses, and it says current resident. So anybody can use that registration form and send it back. Here in Virginia, where I live, they've done three mass mailings, about 90,000 of these at a time, and they've gone out to these unregistered addresses. And the letter they enclose says, "It's our belief that there's a person who's not registered to vote at this address. Could you please fill out the form and send it back?" Very targeted, by the way. And then in the fall, they're going to mail out these applications. Well, they're doing it in every state. And as I said earlier, there is a massive effort this year to register their, you know, new American majority, those targeted voters.
And this is the type of thing that we really have to be cognizant of. And let me ask you this, is some of this, I think, is a Citizens United issue. Some of it is not. Is there a regulatory solution to what it is that you're finding here? Or is this just sort of the new normal, and the issue might be that you have to see if you can build something that competes on the other side that still operates within the law?
Well, a good example is those mailings. They've been going on since 2008, and it's only come to light, you know, since the 2020 election and the impact that it's having on our elections. And as far as I know, in the states where they're doing it, it's legal. We tried in Georgia to ban the practice of these pre-populated mailers. And of course, there was a lawsuit filed by the League of Women Voters and the organization that does the mailing. And it's a court case now. And I believe there was an injunction against the law. And then I believe it was Arizona where we came really close, but the legislature wouldn't approve it. And they said both sides do it. Which isn't, the conservatives don't do it to the degree of the left. They do some of it. So really, until there's a state ban against the practice of pre-populated mailings, as we call them, those are going to continue. As far as the funding goes, the argument I've heard is that it's partisan and it's illegal according to the IRS rules, but that would just shift it to a taxable operation.
Right, right.
But that's not going to happen with this administration. So they're getting with it, whether it's truly legal or not, whether it comes under some of the regulatory, they're getting away with it. And the dark money is just expanding all the time. And like I say, the foreigners now have found it as a path to get involved in elections.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the 1996 scandal with the Clinton-Gore ticket. That's and right. Chinese money coming in, and it was easier to spot. You didn't have as much of this going on as in 96 as we do now.
Example is they're getting involved in initiatives too, like in Ohio. Mm-hmm. A lot of the funding for the abortion initiative that was on the ballot came from outside of Ohio and came from outside the country, because they can the foreigners can invest in initiative elections. Right.
Yeah, yeah, because they are technically not, you know, they're technically not candidate elections.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Ned, I mean, there's a lot here to chew on. Where can people go to find out more about your work and find out more about what it is that you're finding?
Well, there's two websites that they can go to, whoscounting.us, and there they can sign up to get involved. That's what we need, is we need an army of people to get involved as poll workers and poll watchers, and you can do that very easily at whoscounting.us. And then our website is just the name of the organization, citizenselectionresearchcenter.org, and there's a lot of information about our work and what's going on there. And you know, with all the other things that are happening, we could spend another segment on non-citizens voting, on a new scandal with overseas voters that's going to be coming to light in the next couple of weeks. So there's a lot going on.
Well, then we're going to get you back. We're going to get you back and talk more about that at a later date. But for right now, Ned Jones, and you've seen the website's literally behind his head there, citizenselectionresearchcenter.org and whoscounting.us. Be sure to check out both of those. Ned, thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you so much, Ed. It was a pleasure.